Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, a worship podcast of the Congregational Church of New Canaan in New Canaan, Connecticut. To learn about the life of our church, our in-person ministries, and the virtual connections and offerings available, please visit us at www.godsacre.org. Now, wherever you are, wherever you are going, we welcome you to worship.
Church family, this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, wherever you are, wherever you happen to be traveling. We're so thrilled to have you tuning in with us. This is Youth Sunday, and we're going to focus a little bit, at least on the context of our YG Mission Fish traveling to South Carolina, to Allendale, to work with Together for Hope. And I'm going to be focusing, in the light of that, on John chapter 6, a story that I know you're familiar with, the story of the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes, and thinking just a little bit about what that says about gratitude, about the goals we set, and by kind of our call to give. So because it's Youth Sunday, Will and Catherine Haddad will be singing for us. So I invite you to center yourselves in an attitude of worship as we listen to Simple Gospel.
Reach out and you find me in
Thanks, Catherine and Will. So as I said, we're turning to the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John and this story of the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes, and it reads this way. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw the large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" Now Jesus said this to test Philip, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Now Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of Jesus' disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "Well, there's a boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and after he'd given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told the disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves and the fish left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that Jesus had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, Youth Sunday, there's just a lot going on. It's a wonderfully full service that we have if you want to tune in online. But Kelly, therefore, has allotted me 7 minutes to address folks. So here is my, 7-ish minute message on this very essential miracle. Now, the miracle of the multiplication of loaves is recorded in all 4 Gospels, and it's a miracle Jesus performed on 2 occasions in his ministry. So what that means is that it was and is a significant and memorable event. Now, honestly, I have no idea how it occurred. Did Jesus magically increase the food supply, or did one act of sharing, that boy with the loaves and the fish, did that one act of sharing prompt just an outpouring of generosity from the entire crowd? Now, to my mind, the magical multiplication of bread and fish or getting people to share what they have are equally miraculous happenings. What we know is that Jesus was faced with a hungry crowd of about 5,000 people, and the disciples didn't have enough money. They didn't have enough food to meet the need, and yet Jesus still said, "Let's sit down and eat." Now, I want to make 3 brief observations about what followed, because I think this miracle has something to say to us about gratitude, goals, and giving. Gratitude, goals, and giving. But I want to start by being clear about the issue at hand. Jesus and the disciples did not have enough resources to meet the needs before them. So there was this concern about scarcity. Now, I think we all tend to fall prey to a scarcity mindset from time to time. We worry we won't have enough. Not enough love, not enough friends, not enough time, not enough money, not enough work, whatever it is. We tend to look at our lives and life in general, and we're drawn to focus on that which we do not have instead of considering what we actually can bring to the table. You hear this. Philip responded to Jesus' question saying, 6 months' wages, Lord, which they didn't have, incidentally. 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to have a little. And then Andrew piped up saying, there's a boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people? I think we often do the same thing. We look at the challenges before us, and we don't think we have what it takes to overcome the obstacles. But with God, that situation, not having enough, that is just prelude to a miracle. Now, I hope you notice that this miracle is initiated by gratitude. I don't want you to miss that.
The very first thing Jesus did was to give thanks for the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish. It was not anywhere near what they needed, but Jesus gave thanks to God all the same. You know, it's pretty darn easy to be grateful when all is good. Not that we are, but it's easier than when things are challenging. You know, when you and your friends are happy, when work's going well or retirement's going well, when everyone's happy and healthy, it's easy to give thanks, whether we remember to or not. But what do we do when things don't go our way? Typically, we complain. We worry. We might even point fingers. But the Apostle Paul said in wonderful Christian tradition, he said, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ for you." That means give thanks in good times and in bad times. Now, when you can look out on the challenges you face, and there's studies about this, when you look out on the challenges you face and instead of bemoaning the circumstances, you find things to be grateful for, good things happen. Your attitude is better. You begin to see opportunities. You exude positivity and hopefulness that is contagious. And studies show that you're actually healthier, mentally and physically. So I want to suggest that you practice gratitude, that we all do it. That every day when you wake up, pause. Just pause for a moment before you do anything else and give thanks to God for 5 things you're grateful for. Say it out loud or whisper it to yourself. Do the same thing at night. 5 things you're grateful for that happened that day. See, make gratitude a habit. And I promise you, you'll be happier, you'll be healthier, and you're more likely to participate in the everyday blessings and miracles of God. So that's gratitude. Moving on to goals. As parents, as grandparents, we tend to tell our kids that they can do anything they put their minds to. This is said as encouragement to help our kids or grandkids set goals and strive to achieve them. However, I got to say, as Christians, as followers of a Lord and Savior who fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, I think this is actually a very limiting perspective that you can accomplish anything you put your mind to. See, as people of faith, if we can accomplish our goals with the sheer force of our own will, grit, and determination, then you know what? Our goals aren't big enough. Throughout the Bible, throughout the history of the church, God calls us to grand and expansive goals that cannot be accomplished by a single person, nor by a single generation of people. Goals worthy of our Christian calling stretch us beyond our own abilities and resources. They require partnership, partnership with others, partnership with God. I don't know if you remember a number of months back, Jason Coker came to talk about the goals for Together for Hope, the organization that our YG Mission Fish worked with in Allendale, South Carolina. He spoke and he shared the goal. It was eliminate rural poverty. Eliminate it. Eliminate rural poverty. Now that's crazy. That can't be done. There's not enough money. There's not enough bread. There's not enough fish. And yet Jason said that was the goal the Lord set on his heart, and he got to work on it. And over the years, slowly but surely, churches, community leaders, youth groups, contractors, other NGOs have come alongside Together for Hope to provide relief. Now, it'll take generations of faithful people. It will take countless years of hard work to achieve that grand and glorious goal. But Jason and his team are fully committed, and our youth have been a part of that effort on their trip to Allendale, South Carolina. You know, this whole story starts with Jesus asking Philip a question to test him. He said, "Where are we to buy bread for all these people?" And the correct answer is, we can't. It's not possible, not on our own, not without God. For miracles to happen in our world, people like us need to set grand goals that require far more than just putting our minds to accomplishing them. So that's goals. Let's just turn to the third and final observation around giving. The observation I want to make is that the resources used in this miracle came from a boy who was willing to give his all. There was a need for food, and some kid, perhaps not all that different from one of our YG Mission Fish, said, "You know, I've got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Will that help? Will that help? You bet it'll help." I mean, that kind of selfless giving is what makes miracles happen. I mean, here's the truth, and I know you know this, but I just want to confirm it. We cannot control outcomes. We cannot control outcomes, but we can control effort. We need to understand that. The secret to much of life is getting up each morning and giving your best, giving your all, giving what you have, and then trusting the rest to the Lord. That means giving the best of your love to your family, even if your family's a mess, maybe especially so. It means giving your best effort in the classroom, on the ball field, in the boardroom, no matter how things are going. It means going all in on that mission you feel the Lord has placed on your heart. And don't worry that your best efforts might seem like nothing more than offering a few loaves of bread and fish to a hungry multitude. Don't stress about the outcome. No, just give what you have and trust that the Lord can make miracles with your offering. So, I would suggest that if you want your life to be filled with meaning and purpose, if you want to be loosed from the worry and stress you too often feel, if you want to be part of making a significant and positive impact in the world, according to this story, make gratitude a daily practice, set goals for yourself that will take more than your own ability and resources to accomplish, and give all that you have for the cause. Be grateful, set grand goals, give your best. Trust the rest to the Lord. And according to the end of the story, if you were paying attention, you will be satisfied. In fact, you might even be awestruck by what the Lord can accomplish through your efforts. And you will likely discover you have more than enough. You have baskets and baskets of leftovers to share. Let's pray. Lord, too often we look out at the challenges, we look at our life, and we're just not sure, or we worry, or we're anxious that we do not have the resources to bring to bear to the challenges we face. We worry that we are not enough, that we don't have enough, maybe that you aren't accessible enough. But Lord, Scripture tells us that when we are willing to give our all, when we're willing to be grateful, when we're willing to buy into your grand and extraordinary goals for this creation, miracles do happen. Lord God, help us to cleave to this story and others that remind us that with you, all things are possible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So church family, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with kindness and give you peace now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Worship on the Go. To support this podcast and the ministries of our church, please consider making a contribution by clicking the Give button in the top right on our website, www.godsacre.org, or within today's email. God bless you and have a wonderful week.